AviationPros.com is the portal website for AMT, Airport Business, and Ground Support Worldwide magazines. Visit daily for breaking news, industry blogs, and insightful articles from our magazine's editorial team. And don't forget to sign up for our publication's daily e-newsletters. It's all at AviationPros.com.
Welcome to the Aviation Pros Podcast. I'm Josh Smith, editor of Ground Support Worldwide, and today we're speaking with Ushi Shalta-Sasa, Informs Senior Vice President of Aviation, to learn a little bit more about her company's Green Optimization Initiative. Ushi, thank you for your time and your willingness to share more on this information and share a little bit more on this topic with our audience.
Hello, Josh. Very good to be back, and I want to start by expressing a huge thank you to you and Ground Support Worldwide for this opportunity. I'm very excited to dive into today's topic and share some fantastic insights with you and our listeners.
Terrific. We're happy to have you, and we're thrilled that you're excited to be here. So as you mentioned, let's dive in and get a better understanding of Informs Green Optimization Initiative. And I suppose the best place to start is with a general overview of the program and learn a little bit more about how it's designed to help the aviation industry meet larger sustainability goals.
I have to admit, the topic is very close to my heart. And at Inform, we always had and still have a strong commitment towards sustainability. We look at ourselves to see where and how we can continuously do better ourselves. But much more important, we support our customers in achieving their sustainability goals. So I think one thing that we always look at is there are official terms even coined for this, specifically in the ecological sense. There is the term footprint, which usually represents the negative impact we, our organizations, our products have on the environment. Opposed to this, I didn't learn too long ago that there's a term handprint, and handprint refers to the positive impact or beneficial effects, measuring the good that is done to reduce the harm and to promoting the environmental health. So I think it's quite easy to remember. Footprint is you're stepping on something and you're crushing it. Handprint is you're reaching a helping hand. And that's what we want to do. We want to reach a helping hand to our customers to encourage them to proactively approach sustainability and to enable them to reach their sustainability goals. And this is why we created our Green Optimization Initiative to enhance our optimization criteria towards sustainability. And for us, it actually means a lot more than just looking at reducing emissions. We want to actively contribute to reaching many of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals that the UN published in 2015. And they address challenges from environmental over social to justice. And to give a concrete example, we don't only want to reduce CO2 emissions in GSE or off GSE, but also consider a fair distribution of work, healthy shift rotations, and all of that. So that's all part of the Green Optimization Initiative.
It sounds like a very ambitious goal here that Inform has set out. When exactly did Inform launch the Green Optimization Initiative? And you know, how have some of those components developed over time once it was established?
We actually started the Green Optimization Initiative officially more than 5 years ago. And at that time, it relied mostly on GSE telemetry data so that where a vehicle is and how much it's burning fuel, things like that, so that we could improve the use of single GSE. We know where it is, so you don't have to go searching for one, so we can take that one directly. But due to the fast-changing environment and new options, it has continuously evolved over those 5 years, and we're now using a lot more data, which is available now, and new components from our machine learning services to feed and improve the green optimization results. So AI, machine learning, has become a big part of the Green Optimization Initiative.
Sure. Let's dive into a little bit more specifically on that telemetry and data analysis component, which is obviously a big part of the Green Optimization Initiative. If a ground handler wants to take part, or one of Inform's customers want to take part in this program, what equipment and software is required, and how is the data collected used to measure key parameters like CO2 footprint of the equipment in a GSE fleet?
First of all, I think taking part in sustainability initiatives should not be difficult for ground handlers. A transformation towards more sustainability is rather a marathon than a sprint, but every marathon starts with the first step. And implementing software and systems for better and efficient management of resources, such as planning and scheduling systems that minimize equipment and staff idle times, optimize the allocation, cross-utilization of resources, like our GroundStar suite, that is a great first step. Looking at your GEC fleet, like you just mentioned, is a natural second. So there are many options, and just to name a few, is you can use technology to monitor your locations, control fuel usage on your existing motorized fleet. You can use tracking devices that are solar powered on GSE that is not motorized. You can replace your conventional diesel or gasoline powered equipment with electric alternatives to reduce carbon emissions, noise pollution, and things like that. And all of these are areas where our green optimization kicks in. So suddenly, you need to take decisions like, how else can I use the knowledge of where my equipment is, not only to allocate the next task? I have a mixed fleet. Where and when do I use my electric GSE versus the regular GSE to reach the most sustainable result? What are those most sustainable results? Do I only look at CO2 footprint or also on wear and tear of the equipment? Example, would I take an EGSE and drive it all across the airport to the far north side? Or would I rather take a diesel for that, even though it consumes more CO2 because it ruins the equipment? How do my maintenance cycles change? And how do I need to incorporate this into my GSE allocation plans? Big point, where and when do I charge my EGSE? So green optimization helps you to get the answers to all of these questions plus more. And we have customers that have just started their journey in sustainability, as well as others who have already very robust technologies, including telemetry on all of their ground support equipment, full fleets of electric GSE, and so on. And it changes your approach depending on where you are already.
I think you've alluded to a little bit of what I want to ask you about it with this next question, but I think there are certain types of information that maybe fleet managers might not think of right away that maybe can be tracked and optimized a little bit more. Things like details around charging times or charger availability for their electric equipment, and even just some other environmental conditions. How does that information help fleet managers improve and optimize their operations?
So I think important for fleet managers is specifically when you look at the CO2 footprint, is that we can create an individual ecological footprint or a profile of a GSE fleet type, or even drill it down to a single GSE. So in GroundStar, we don't only have the flights and the task demands, but also the layout and distances at an airport. So following that, we can calculate or even approximate, looking into the future, the actual footprint over a certain period of time for the entire fleet. With the ecological footprint as criteria in our optimization, we can minimize the usage of the GSE with a large ecological footprint and thus reduce the overall CO2 emission in the operation. But the collected data allows you to also detect and avoid overcapacity. So if you know, kind of like, you're not using all of your equipment, why would you start it up anyway? You know, like, so if you don't need, I don't know, 15 and you're happy with 14 or 13, you know, just leave that one in the garage. So just as an example, one of our customers implemented our software and was able to significantly as actually 8 large GSE, reduce the number of their GSE in only 3 months. So that was a big step because, you know, not having a GSE reduces not only, you know, the carbon footprint of that GSE, but also the maintenance people and all of that, everything that's related to that. And normally our most important goal is route optimization. That's a natural in the system, reducing the number of kilometers or miles that we're driving per task and overall. However, with the green optimization, we're determining the actual carbon footprint per individual vehicle in advance and taking this factor into account before we allocate it to a specific operational task. So it might even be the case that an electric vehicle has a worse carbon footprint than a conventionally powered one that could perform the same task due to its much higher weight. So electric vehicles are usually a lot heavier and the resulting tire abrasion. So for our customers, we use all of these factors for the decision-making process to find the overall most sustainable solution. So everything that we can get our hands on as data, we input into the green optimization and try to make use of it. You asked about the charging piece as the second part of your question.
Yes.
Which is actually something that is very, how do you say, heavily discussed. There's a lot of discussion going on around it. And it's an area where we made tremendous progress recently. So there's a large and constantly growing fleet of electronic-based ground support equipment worldwide, everywhere. Of course, some areas more than others. And to follow your sustainability goals or governmental mandates or cost savings due to energy efficiency or technological advancements, health aspects, using electronic equipment inside rather than diesel-powered one, there's a lot of outreach or a lot of change at the moment in this direction. Charging that equipment can be a very painful process due to the time it takes and due to the capacity and space of the chargers. And we help a lot of our customers leverage our optimizer in helping them create what we call charging tasks for GSE. So we're able to identify non-peak times for a certain vehicle, or equipment type that would be. And we can treat chargers as a specific resource. So we can optimize how the equipment gets charged throughout the day so that it's always powered, available, and ready for use when needed. So we know how many chargers we have, and we can treat them as aircraft stands, for example. So you can drive a vehicle there and it's occupying it for a certain time. You know that others want the same stand. So it's a similar setup, and we changed the system to allow that happening.
You alluded earlier to all the different types of data that you try to get your hands on to help your customers make really informed decisions. And you also alluded earlier to the importance of machine learning and that artificial intelligence component. How does the machine learning factor into the green optimization initiative? How is the machine learning using the data collected to help analyze operational factors and improve your customers' efficiency?
Really glad you asked this question because AI and machine learning is becoming even more a core of our solutions. And we don't just value AI for the sake of having AI. You know, we have customers coming up like, hey, you have AI? Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you want to use it for? You know, it's like, we have all these options. Oh, no, we just wanted to know if you have AI. Okay, that's the first step. But we're passionate about identifying ways or AI can empower humans. Human expertise and know-how are the foundation of operations research, which is already part of our system anyway. But AI and the machine learning piece and everything is helping us to take our optimization to the next level. For example, we're leveraging AI to build better future plans as part of our ground start planning tool. So instead of relying and planning for a blue sky schedule that assumes 100% completion factor, perfect A0, perfect D0, large operational peaks, so, you know, everything's kind of like laid out and everything would work out as planned, our AI helps our customers to run predictive models based on what is more likely to occur in the operation. Fewer resources, less idle time, and you're just kind of helping them work with more realistic data. Another example is our new partnership with FlightAware, where we're able to offer a lot more accurate arrival time information as far as a few hours in advance. And that makes a tremendous difference in successful on-time performance. So if you know that this aircraft is going to come in early or late, you can already prepare. So real-world example, some of our customers send their loading crews, baggage drivers, unloading crews that will be, and baggage drivers to a flight up to 10 minutes in advance so that they're surely there when the aircraft arrives. Well, if you know your time that the aircraft's going to be arrived, your predicted time is so good that you can rely on it, that saves you all that idle time of the people. So a lot higher accuracy on arrival times, less waiting time, less CO2 emission again. And completely different example, when you have peak times at the airport, same as peak times in the city, there are traffic jams. Airports have traffic jams. So people need to take a different route, and predicting those blocking and waiting times with AI technology can create systematic and data-driven suggestions for optimal routes. So reducing the travel time, reducing fuel burn and idling, and getting you there on time. So those are different areas. Another area that I can think of is predictive maintenance, where we would use the data that we have to predict the maintenance based on all the telemetry data that we have for the equipment, so that we don't have any unexpected equipment failures during the operation, which would again lead to unnecessary use of additional resources and also carbon emissions.
I think those are really excellent examples of just how vastly machine learning can be applied.
Broad fields, really broad.
It makes it really easy to understand just how invaluable of a tool that can be, that you know, the machine learning and the AI can do so much that it takes obviously that work off of somebody's individual tasks to complete.
And that's actually what we want to achieve. We want to support the people being there so that you don't, like, a decision that the system can take based on all this information is naturally just a very good decision. And if the system cannot take the decision, at least we offer the alternatives to the person sitting in front of the PC to say, just like, hey, you know, which one do you want to use? So if the system can't take the decision, we offer options. But as soon as the system can take the decision based on all the rules and regulations that it knows, let's make the lives easier of people.
Let's take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to have more with Inform's Ushi Shaltasasa. We're back with Inform's Ushi Shaltasasa. And now that we've learned more about Inform's Green Optimization Initiative, I'd like to gather some additional perspective on creating environmental goals in a more broader sense. So Ushi, from a ground service provider's point of view, if they're looking to reduce their environmental impact of their operations, what are some first steps that can be taken to increase some of those green objectives?
I think there is one point that I would want to make, like right in the beginning, is having talked to a bunch of our customers about this topic, both large and small, my first comment would really be not to wait. Don't let great get in the way of good. Work with your operational leaders and frontline team members, hear their ideas, maybe join some aviation industry sustainability focus groups, discussion groups, get an idea of what is out there and available. If you're part of the Inform family as a customer, reach out to us. There is a good chance we can help you put you together with someone else who's interested in starting out or maybe has even made good progress on their sustainability goals already. So you can share experiences. You don't need to fall into the pitfalls that they already fell into. So you can really be on top of things. And I think it's also very important to be honest about what's driving your desire, your need for more increased green optimization. Is it just a corporate mandate? Is it part of your organizational culture? How bought off and invested are your frontline team members and leadership? Some customers that we've talked to before, they took large technical steps like buying software, replacing fossil fuel-based GSE with electronic vehicles or, you know, stuff like that. They actually invested in getting buy-in from their team members and look into change management. So you explain to people why this is an important thing, because then they want to change and they want to move on. And it's actually something that we also do at Inform ourselves. So, you know, in all the sustainability setup, you always have the three P's: people, profit, planet, to have a sustainable environment. What we added at Inform is we have a fourth P. We have people, profit, planet, and person. We believe that if you do not want to change, you know, everything that is forced onto you is something that you don't really want to do. So, but if you're convinced that this is something good to do, then you would be much more aligned to following the whole idea and the whole setup. So I think is move forward. Don't stop. Get feedback from other people who might have already been down the road. Get people from the outside to talk to you. You know, if you're, as mentioned, already part of the GroundStar community, we have a lot of customers that already are halfway through transitioning into EGSE. We have partners that we work with that actually help our customers in this transition come up with good goals. We have I think something that we can also touch on later on is more the ESG reporting piece. So all of these areas are areas where I think, you know, it's like they're worthwhile steps to take. And the first step is get going.
There are programs available to ground handlers and others in the industry. For example, Inform's Net Zero Carbon Emission Initiative that can measure the progress and success of sustainability projects. Are there specific metrics or key performance indicators that ground handlers should focus on when evaluating their sustainability goals?
We do strongly support our customers in these efforts, in their projects, and in their setups. To my experience, there are some common KPIs, but mostly there is a need to follow their companies or even countries' ESG reporting policies. And ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. So there's a lot more than just the environmental piece. For environmental and social parts of the social thing, we can help with the data that we collect in GroundStar. And all of the data that we collect and we have in GroundStar, we provide so that they can build them into their respective ESG indicators with regards to the operation. And usually that is either done via our reporting features that we have, or by directly transferring them into a customer's data warehouse for their combination with other data and factors. So using our reporting capabilities, we can generate GroundStar-related ESG reports. And if you do that and you have that same report, of course, you can run that over time and you can have comparisons of the month or years before up to now so they can see how you vary from former times. But to my experience at the moment today, most of our data goes into a big data warehouse or big data lakes at the customer who then use that to fill it into their ESG reports or their sustainability reporting, all of that. We can offer a lot of data because GroundStar has a lot of data, but it's rather seldom that we have all the KPIs on our side. It's usually combined with other data that the customer has. I think there are obvious KPIs that ground handlers would use that are somewhat standard, like emission reduction, CO2 footprint, efficient use of your resources, being a staff or equipment. But one point that we didn't touch on is buildings. Buildings is actually one that, I mean, for ground handlers, it's not that important, but for airports or even airlines that own the terminal, I think what we can also do, or what we do already, is we optimize the usage of your building so that if we can, of course, if the infrastructure allows it with the setup of customs and everything, we can only use certain parts of the building so that you can, in low times, close down certain building areas. So you don't need heating, you don't need cooling, you don't need cleaning. So all of that. We even optimize cleaning crews to only clean those areas that are widely used. Why would you clean a bathroom that nobody has been in for 8 hours because nobody used the gate area? You know, stuff like that. So that area is one that we didn't really touch on, but I think it's also like an indicator to say that it would influence your ESG KPIs if you're not using parts of the building.
Of course, with any new objective, there's going to be challenges along the way. And for ground handlers looking to make their operations more sustainable, what are some of those primary challenges they encounter? And do you have any advice for people listening to this conversation to help them overcome some of those common challenges that do occur?
I really like the question because I think it really like hits home to why companies around the globe haven't just kind of like flip the switch and here we're sustainable. It's not that easy. Sometimes just a matter of cost, because if it wouldn't be a matter of cost, most ground handlers will operate the most modern, most electric, best usage using GSE only, replacing their fossil fuel power GSE overnight. We'd instantly have optimal operations where everything runs on time without disruption. There would be no need for waiting or buffer time. But the reality is ground handlers have to juggle a large number of competing priorities. So sustainability is just one priority of a lot of them. A major priority is safety. So you would never compromise safety for sustainability. You cannot. It's not in our aviation genes and in the rules and regulations that we have to follow. So aligning on the prioritization for each of these topics, I think, is important. And to get around that challenge a bit, I think you need to find solutions that actually help you in that prioritization and that help you meet a number of goals in different settings at the same time. Referring to, for example, GroundStar again, not only does GroundStar help ground handlers, airports, and airlines improving their sustainability in a measurable and direct way, but it also helps by reducing the costs, and it has direct benefits to safety because we adhere to all the safety regulations that you have. We're able to match the task demand with the qualification and make sure the staff member has that qualification, so you're not driving an equipment that we don't have the license for. We're able to balance and equalize workloads between people. We're able to adhere to work regulations that you have. So tools like GroundStar help a lot in that sense to overcome those challenges. And I think the end, you have to find a way to move forward on your goals, make progress towards sustainability, and celebrate yourself for it because it's an awesome thing that you're doing. You're making the world a better place. And don't always measure yourself against someone that's already way, way far ahead of you. It's like, you're taking steps. It's like, you know, like start, move forward. You're doing a great thing. And actually really let tools help you.
I'm glad you brought up the tools that can help, because I think maybe a great place to wrap up today's conversation is if we could steer any ground handlers who are looking to enhance their sustainability, could we steer them towards any resources available? You know, what's out there for anyone looking to learn more and get that initial start in this, you know, sustainability objective?
I think there are companies that even specialize in that. I don't have any available at the moment that I can name because I wasn't sure if I can name them in the podcast. But if you want to reach out to me, our customers, our listeners want to reach out to me, I think we can get you in contact with them. And we even have our own sustainability team here at Inform that can support you in your endeavors. So that's one thing that I can definitely offer. As I said, get help. Get help is talking to people who are focused on this, but also really talking to peers, other airports, other airlines, other ground handlers. And a lot of our customers are already very advanced in where they are. So we can bring you in contact with them so that you can exchange information. My direct email address is ushi@inform-software.com. Spelled Ushi, U-S-C-H-I, at inform-software.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that information. It's going to conclude this edition of the Aviation Pros podcast. And I'd like to thank our guest again. It's Ushi Shaltasasa. And if you'd like to learn more about her company and the ground handling optimization solutions they provide, please visit www.informsoftware.com. That's inform-software.com. And for more information about efficient ground handling processes and best practices, you can stay up to date by subscribing to Ground Support Worldwide's daily newsletter. And if you enjoyed this episode of the Aviation Pros podcast, you can subscribe to it wherever you download your podcasts, rate and review it, and please be sure to share it with your colleagues in the industry. And as always, please continue to visit aviationpros.com.